Today on the Critical Mass podcast, I speak with author Deborah Caligiuri about her story in Water is Life, the new benefit book from Critical Press Media, plus some absolutely fantastic offer from Spirit Blade Productions. Stick around.
Prime Lever Action Chamber. Critical Parameters on Earth. Time.
Initial reaction at T-minus 30.
Geo slug in place. Stand by for injection. Capsule breach now.
Reaction commencing.
Containment field hold to 3.14 degrees of time. Initial chambers flushing to capacity. Can we hold it? What's happening?
Critical mass.
Hold on. Mind spike.
So I'm in the reaction chamber with Deborah Caligiuri, native to Southeast Texas or Northwest Florida or the middle of Pennsylvania, depending on her mood. How you doing, Deb?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Now, you have some specific advice for us concerning tea, do you not?
Sure. I do.
Yeah, I was hoping so. Tell me about your favorite tea.
Well, my favorite tea is a green tea. Green tea is really, really healthy for you. It has a lot of antioxidants. It helps keep your body clean and your heart healthy. And it's got a really light flavor. So if you don't like the really strong flavor of black tea, green tea is a good way to go. And I like it with a little mint in it.
A little mint? Like the little starlight mints that I put in my tea?
Sure. Or you can buy it in the grocery store already with mint in it. Or you can go to your local grocery store and buy a little bit of fresh mint and just drop it right in.
Now, you were just telling me that you are a tea snob, and having acknowledged that I am not a tea snob, where do we go to find these good teas?
Well, I just go to my local grocery store. I would say probably any grocery store has a good selection of teas. And you can also look at health food stores. For those of you who may be even more snobbier than I am, you can look at health food stores. That's probably where I would go.
So is it going to be located right next to the Lipton and the Louisiana and that kind of thing?
It should be. They should all be on the same aisle as your coffee, tea, soda, hot chocolate. It's usually all right in the same place.
Okay. And for the aspiring tea snob who is not yet professional, can I just pick up anything that's labeled tea, and it'll get me started on this?
Like, you can, because tea is tea, but I don't think I would do that. Pick it up and look at the box and read what's in it, and it'll give you a good idea of what you think you might like to drink. Now, I wouldn't start with a tea that you would use to make an iced tea. I wouldn't start with that, because that's going to be a very strong, strong hot tea. So I would look toward your herbal teas and maybe start with a chamomile or just a simple green tea, and you can get green teas with lemon or green teas with honey or mint or a lot of different things. But I would start with a lighter tea than just your ordinary black tea bag.
Okay. And we were talking about tea is a good, we're in the Christmas gifting season. Tea is a good gift idea. I mean, it's not a universal thing, but it has a very, very low allergen occurrence. Can be served hot or cold. Even if you wind up gifting a box of tea to somebody who steadfastly refuses to drink it, you know, they can at least put it in a potpourri boiler and use it as simmering potpourri. Yes.
Yeah, sure. It has a nice earthy fragrance if you're going to use it as some sort of potpourri or scent for your home. Yeah, just get a cute box of tea. If you're going to gift it to someone who doesn't particularly care for tea, then don't worry so much about what's in it. Just get a box that looks really nice and get yourself some sort of meaningful or just beautiful teacup and put it in and wrap it up, and there you go. It makes a really elegant and nice Christmas present.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, just to be clear, you're not one of the ultra tea snobs, are you? With one of those memberships to tea of the month, tea of the week.
No, I don't have time for all that.
Okay, well, we will come back to the subject of Christmas presents and good Christmas present ideas in a little bit. But Deborah, you have written a story for the December Critical Press Benefit Project. The name of that project again is Water is Life, and it is a collection of short stories, and every purchase goes to benefit Living Water International. Now, your story has a very personal connection to you. It's not a travelogue. It's not a biography. We'll call it inspired by. How's that?
Okay.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your story and where it came from?
Well, my story is just basically the experience of a girl who takes a missions trip through Africa when she is a teenager, and what she sees and who she meets and how she develops her outlook on life from that trip. That's essentially what the story is about, and it's loosely based on my own trip to Africa. The ending is, her ending is much different than my ending. It's loosely based on my own experiences there and the people that I met there and some of the fun things that happened to me while I was there.
Well, it would certainly
give
you...
And a lot of the really poignant and heart-wrenching things, too, that I saw and experienced when I was there.
Now, you went on a trip to Malawi.
Yes.
In, my goodness...
1992.
Okay. There you go, 92. You were what? Okay. I should know all this. You would think I would know all this just off the top of my head. But, and that was through Teen Missions International, right?
Yes.
Now, how long...
And they are still operating and still in business and still do missions trips all around the world.
Great. We can find some links to that worthy organization in the show notes. How long were you in Africa?
6 weeks.
Just 6 weeks. What were some of the things that you did over there? I mean, I have a vague notion of mission trips to foreign lands that has mostly been gleaned from bad travelogues and
Well, when we were there, we
Nature
went for
biography
the purpose
thing.
Of making a movie that would minister to the people of Malawi, to that nation.
Right, because everybody in the backwoods of South Africa has VCRs, right?
Right, essentially.
No, seriously, that's...
And just to be clear, Malawi is a different country than South Africa. But,
see, I'm learning something already.
Yeah, right? No, it's a movie that, very much like the Jesus film that was used for years and years and years, where missionaries would take it with them, with their own setup, and show this film out in the middle of nowhere. This movie was made with the same kind of ministry thought in mind. So for the first 3 weeks of our trip, that's what we did. We filmed this movie, and we did a lot of street ministry, and we went to a lot of different schools. We went to schools, we went to neighborhoods, well, and I use the word neighborhoods very loosely, because it's nothing like you would think of a neighborhood here.
Okay, well, let's take a minute there. When I think of a neighborhood here, we've got the Edward Scissorhands suburban kind of thing going on, or you know, even we can go into the inner city, even the inner city of Evansville. It's hardly ghetto slumland. I mean, the houses
right.
become a little more run down, but you know, there are still people there with clothes on and who have clean water. What is a Malawi neighborhood like?
Well, you have to remember, this has been getting close to 20 years for me now, but...
Well, you know what? I understand. I have a hard time believing that conditions in Malawi have changed that drastically over the past 20 years. I mean, and it's odd to say that from the cultural, from the social position that we're in now. But when you head overseas, when you head over into these developing countries, I think is the PC term for it now, you know, you really are stepping back almost a century.
Right. Well, the capital city of Lilongwe had much closer to a modern convenience that you and I would see as a modern convenience. Still, it was extremely primitive. There were roads that were basically paved, and there were motor vehicles, you know, that basically functioned. And if you just look at it from the outside, it looks sort of like a very small town that got lost, you know, in the past, like a small American town that got lost in the past.
Sure.
And then you get into it, and it's you can really see the cultural differences, obviously, and then how primitive it really is. And a neighborhood, so let's say we're putting in our mind this image of Edward Scissorhands' suburban neighborhood. So think of that, and then take out all of the concrete, all of the driveways, all of the houses with more than one or two bedrooms.
Okay, I'm down to blank fields.
Take out most of the grass. You've got very basic structures with a little bit of civility. Some of them, the richer people had some running water. And it didn't mean it was clean water, but it was running water. And by that, meaning they could get water into their kitchen. And they could sort of, they had a bathroom, but it wasn't a bathroom like you and I would think of a bathroom. And beyond that, it's kind of hard to explain.
Well, that's all right. More like an outhouse or what they used to call the honey chamber.
Yeah, something like that.
Not what we would consider clean and sanitary.
You were fortunate enough to have it inside of your house.
Right.
But that, I only experienced one house like that, and we used it for filming, so I know that it was one of the better houses in the area.
Right.
And then you have your, like, regular, what maybe we would call inner city neighborhood, which was basically huts. Usually built kind of in a circle with the open area, you know, in them, in that circle where the people would all do their things,
right,
live their life as a community during the day. And really the way that it seemed like that they made life work the best was by working together and not just being an individual family here and an individual family there, but the whole community would just sort of work together to make life work.
Right.
And so, I saw a lot of fun things. Like I did see a woman with a baby wrapped on her back and a basket of fruit on her head. And one of the nationals that was with us actually did the same thing when we went to the market. I do have a little snapshot of my trip to the market in there. And when we went to the market, one of our translators, Marie, she carries the basket back on her head. And she just picked it up, set it on her head, and started walking. And I was like, how do you do that? Because it was not a small basket. It was a big basket. I was very impressed.
So, yeah, it wasn't all suffering and sorrow.
Oh, no. In order to suffer through some kind of the poverty that they lived in, you have to experience the wealth that we have in America. So for them, it wasn't so much suffering. It was just what life was. And so their perspective on it was completely different than my perspective. Where I felt sorry for them, they didn't necessarily see themselves as needing pity.
Well, they're not suffering because they don't have VCRs and flat-screen TVs and electricity.
Or even not having any shoes. They didn't see that as a lack in their life. But one thing I also put in my story that was amazing was how they would just start singing. Anywhere we go to minister, where there were a group of five or six or more of them, they would just start singing. Now, I don't know what they were singing because it was in Chichewa, but or Swahili sometimes. But they would just start singing these songs, and they were so beautiful, and they would just sing and sing and sing and sing and sing without any, you know, without any choir director, without any anything. It was just an impromptu way of, I guess, communicating or expressing their joy.
That's, again, I guess that's just one more thing. That's another illustration. This culture is far, far removed. Now, the theme of the book, was clean water. And we've heard a lot over this past year from John Wilkerson about Living Water International and the need for clean water that these countries have. And that places in these countries have. Not a lot of us have ever really gotten to go out and experience this kind of thing firsthand. Have we been overstating the need for this kind of thing that these places have? Or is this, and I realize that your mission trip wasn't specifically for this purpose, you know, to go over there,
right,
and dig wells and educate the population. You know, your trip, you were there to minister to people, and you did that through, it's not like you were a street corner preacher. You helped out with the local missions, and you saw to people's needs in a real and tangible way. Is that right?
Yes, we did that. And we also did a fair amount of street ministry. And then in the second half of our stay there, we trained the nationals to be able to continue to minister in their own country.
And did you see a lot of this? I mean, obviously you weren't allowed to drink the water while you were over there, right?
Right. We brought a supply of tablets. They're just little white tablets that we use to purify any water that we used to drink, because if we had drunk the water there, it would have made us sick.
Right.
So we had anything that we, any water that we drank, we had to make sure that it was purified, and we had to carry a canteen with us everywhere that we went because, you know, it was even hard in the city in the long way. There were a couple of places where you could get, like a couple of restaurants where they said it was just okay, you can buy the bottled beverage or what, like their version of soda.
Right.
But most of us didn't want to because it didn't have any ice, so it was really hot. But yeah, for the most part, we couldn't drink the water, and bathroom facilities were extremely primitive, and we had to be really careful when...
with sanitation.
Right. It was really hard to stay clean and get clean. And
right.
When we went out to the camp, it was even more primitive. Yeah, I mean, I can see, not, you know, when I was there and when I was 15, I wasn't thinking about it from the perspective of their clean water and their sanitation.
Sure.
But now that I'm thinking back on it, I can definitely see how that was a problem.
We're looking forward to reading your story in the new book. I don't know, it feels odd saying that because I've already read it. But I hope everybody else is looking forward to reading this. I want to touch one more time on some neat. We're in the holiday season. We're in the Christmas gifting season. So what are some of the neat gift ideas that you plan or give us some good neat gift ideas for the holiday season. Now, obviously, the first thing on everybody's gift list should be the new book, Water is Life.
Absolutely.
But what do you, I mean...
You know, this holiday season, it seems like the whole country is in an economic crisis, let's say, and everybody's watching a little more carefully where they spend their money.
Right.
So what I would say is go to your local thrift store. Start looking, and you can find all kinds of neat things that you can turn into a gift. Even if it's not a gift already, you start looking at the collection of hodgepodge dishes and cups and artwork even, and you can buy it for a much smaller price and then use your imagination and it can become a really incredible and sentimental gift.
Consumables are really popular, I know. We were just talking about tea and the appropriateness of gifting tea to pretty much... you know, anyone for any occasion. Hickory Farm,
yeah.
You know, the meat and cheese gift baskets are always popular.
Sure, or even do some nice little, make your own little basket and put some boxes of hot chocolate or boxes of tea or a bag of coffee. You know your friends, you know what they like, what their tastes are, and maybe a couple of coffee cups, and that's really inexpensive, and it makes a really nice, thoughtful gift.
Well, I appreciate you, taking some time out with me this afternoon, talking about your story and brainstorming for gifts. It hasn't solved all of my gifting problems, but you know, it's a start, right?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
This is Peter Franson from Spirit Blade Productions. If you're one of those misfit Christians that like sci-fi, fantasy, and comic books, then we want you to hang out with us every week at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. Get your news, reviews, and rumors on cool movies and comic books, and send us your own reviews and thoughts to play on the air and let your inner geek shine. We're also diving deep and exploring God's Word without suits, pews, or churchy language. So if you're an out-of-the-box thinker, you've got a new home at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. Find us on iTunes or go to pater.libsyn.com. That's PAETER.LIBSYN.com. See you there, and in all things, seek the truth.
Spirit Blade Productions is partnering with Critical Press Media to bring you a Christmas value you cannot pass up. With every purchase of the Atomic Earth board game, you'll also receive a digital download of a dramatized audio production from Spirit Blade Productions. Choose from the original Spirit Blade, Dark Ritual, or the new Pilgrim's Progress, Similitude of a Dream, and enter a world that is unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. Head over to www.spiritblade.net for more information on the various audio projects or look for a link in the show notes.
There are things under the skin of the world that most people would rather not think about. What goes on in that seemingly abandoned building you drive by every day? Children disappear, never to be seen again. News of cannibalism, self-mutilation, and exploitation of the helpless fills our airwaves. The stench of evil pervades our world. Who will stand in the gap? A small band of unlikely warriors have chosen to fight against the darkness. They don't realize what they've gotten themselves into or the sacrifices they will have to make. Their enemies are Legion. This fall, make sure you subscribe to Archangel Legion at www.archangelnovel.com. Your very soul may depend upon it.
It's the first week of December, and the new reprint from the Data Vault Archives is Interplanetary Hunter from Arthur Kelvin Barnes, collecting the adventures of Catch 'em Alive Jerry Carlisle and Tommy Strike as they hunt down the fiercest, most elusive creatures in the solar system and bring them back alive to the London Interplanetary Zoo. These stories of starkly astounding science fiction and thrilling adventure first appeared in Thrilling Wonder Stories in the 30s and 40s, and Critical Press Media is pleased to bring you a high-quality printed edition just in time for Christmas, or get you a digital download for your mobile device or desktop computer. The new issue of the Data Vault features a short story from Fort Dinosaur, inspired by Edgar Rice Burroughs' classic tale of the continent of Caprona and the island of Casback. You can find a link to that in the website. You can read those stories in the Critical Press Library or get you a printed copy from the bookstore. If you've got a good story that you want to tell, send it. Look for submission information and get your story printed in a monthly issue of the Data Vault. Of course, the big news this month is the release of the new benefit book. That title is Water is Life. It is currently available directly from Critical Press Media as either a digital download, or you can get a printed copy from Critical Press directly or from our publishing partner Lulu. That will be on Amazon.com before the end of the year, but unfortunately not in time for Christmas. So get your printed copy from the website or from Lulu in time for Christmas, or get your digital download today. This weekend, actually, is that drops this weekend. And with every purchase of this book, a donation is made to Living Water International. This is the final organized drive as part of John Wilkerson's Podcasting for Water event. And this, needless to say, that will not end with the end of the year, but it will carry on. If you're looking for one event that does end with the end of the year but is still benefiting Podcasting for Water, head on over to mylifeministries.org and listen to Brad and Faith slug it out 100 episodes over 100 days to raise a whole bunch of money for Living Water International as the final, I guess that's officially the final push for Podcasting for Water, taking it on through the end of the year. Great organization. Head over, drop some money into the Facebook page, or buy you a digital copy of the book. Have something to enjoy, and your money still goes to Living Water International. The end of the year, the Christmas season is rapidly closing on us. Don't let it catch you unawares, and whatever you do, don't let your reaction chamber shut down. Keep it fired up.
Email at mindspike@criticalpressmedia.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.